Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Oh, I am like Welcome to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. That was a pregnant pause, pregnant with possibilities, because we are cultivating the spirit of yes on Living in the Yes. And all that Ricky Byers Beckwith, it doesn't matter how many times I hear, let my soul surrender. My soul just wants to surrender a little bit more. So thank you, Ricky Byers Beckwith, beautiful high priestess of agape. You can find her magical work at rickybb.com. And you can also find her on iTunes. So make sure you check her out. We have intense energy running tonight. Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson will be our phenomenal usher. You are welcome to join this conversation, because activation leads to participation, and we want to ignite the spirit of yes tonight. So you get to call in 347-426-3346, and don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. And without further ado, I am going to welcome our beautiful Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson into the room. Rev D, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am full of springtime and winter.
I love it.
And I'm saying that authentically.
Well, this is good.
Hey. But hey, Rev Dito, and I want to talk to you about this, but I definitely danced with my shadows, too. I cried ugly color purple tears, and that full moon in Cancer, you know, I always like to say that I rule my destiny. These stars can't touch me. Well, hey, I released and released and released, and then one day, I could see clearly.
Good.
And I'm so happy to be with you tonight.
Good. Good, good, good. You know, I don't claim to know a lot about the stars. But what I do know is that when you do, like, Lao Tzu says in the Tao Te Ching, when we learn to accord with the way things are, our lives are so much easier. I think part of the challenge of our really highly industrialized society is we have gotten so far from the land that we somehow consider ourselves to be superior to all of the elements. You know, if we want to sail, we can just put our ship in the water any old time, you know, according to our schedule. I don't have to look at the tide. I don't have to look at this or that. And, you know, everything is ruled by the stars and the tide. You know, any farmer will know there's a certain time you plant. There's a certain time to harvest. We're just getting out of the holiday season. And even the nativity story talks about the stars and the constellation marking, you know, like a particular event. And I'm telling you, girlfriend, I really am late to the game here in coming to appreciate just how impacted we are, and why not? You know, we're animals. You know, we're a part of life. And now my mantra in this cultivating yes has really switched to how can I be more in alignment? You know, how can I really honor, you know, my nature, my connectedness to the earth and to everything. It's been particularly challenging for me, having lived the first 35 years of my life in Los Angeles, which is, you know, a lovely big town, but it's pretty seasonless there. our favorite thing to do New Year's? Go to the beach. it could easily be 80 degrees, New Year's Day. You didn't have different clothes for different seasons or anything like that. And I didn't grow to have an appreciation. I've been in the Santa Cruz area now 24 years. It's about 350 miles north of Los Angeles, right on the Monterey Bay. We're technically on the Central Coast, a little south of San Francisco, part of that broader Bay Area. The weather's just a little bit different here, but a little bit more, towards the seasons. And, our whole being goes through its seasons. There's times when we're in winter, times when we're in spring. There are times for fall. And what I've noticed in my own life in terms of cultivating that yes is learning how to be at peace with whatever season my soul was in. That's a part of that journey. I'm feeling compelled right now to share a little. It's sometimes referred to as the parable of the sower or the parable of the sower and the seed. This is the only parable where Jesus gave the answer. Teaching style was very Eastern, kind of like the Buddhist with their koans, what is the sound of one hand clapping or something like that, where there's a little story, little mental riddle, so to speak. Job was to figure it out, that your whole process of discerning the answer is part of the whole learning curve. But he said that this one particular parable was so important that he really wanted everybody to understand it. So he went on to explain it. I want to give you the cliff notes of it, with the assumption that many of the people in the listening audience have probably been exposed to it. Then I want to share some insights on it that really drive the point home. So in the story, it says that a sower went out to sow his seed. This is found in the book of Matthew, 13th chapter. And it says a sower went out to sow his seed. And during this process, the seed falls upon these four different types of terrain to you, what happens in each terrain. So the first terrain, it says that the seeds fell upon the wayside. It says that the birds came and they took the seeds, flew away. Okay, there was no planting that happened then. It said that the second kind, it fell upon the stony places, that it rose very quickly, but it also shriveled up quickly. It said the third kind of seed fell amongst the thorns and the thistles. These are the weeds. It grew. They all grew together. But eventually, the thorns and the thistles, and then it said the fourth kind of seed fell upon the fertile ground, and it multiplied and multiplied greatly. This is not just a gardening lesson, okay? That in these parables, everything stands for state of consciousness. That's actually true with everything in the Bible, though. Every action, every character, every object, the terrain, all of it represents different states of consciousness. Our mind is likened to the soil, and the seed is the same as ideas. And he's explaining what happens to us with our ideas. I'm going over this now because this is about cultivating the spirit of yes. There's a way in which the soil has to be prepared. The soil has to be cultivated in preparation for the planting. And if there isn't proper cultivation, then there isn't going to be the harvest that you want. It's the first seed fell upon the wayside or the roadside, depending upon which version you're talking about. Nothing happened because the earth was solid. It was packed. Think about this and what it means for us in our minds. That in order for something to be planted, there has to be movement. Some space has to be made. You need to get a pick or a hoe or something and actually dig in and break up that earth and make it malleable. Okay? This is what happens with us with our minds. Our minds can be closed. We don't receive the seeds. We don't receive the ideas. We can't even hold on to it. Like in one ear, out the other. So that the birds just came along and took up that seed. So the second kind fell upon the stony places. And the third kind fell amongst the thorns and the thistles. And the last kind was the fertile ground. I want to share something with you to bring this parable alive at an even deeper level. I'm going to read from you from a book called Gospel Light. Gospel Light. And the author of this book is George M. Lamsa. L-A-M-S-A, Lamsa. Gospel Light, an indispensable guide to the teachings of Jesus and the customs of his time. George M. Lamsa, 20th century character, who grew up deep in the hills of Turkey as one of the lost tribes of Israel. He grew up as a Jew thinking that the Messiah had come. And many of the documents that were Hebrew texts were quite often buried so as not to be destroyed as the tribes are being scattered over the land. Every time we have a new discovery, like the Dead Sea Scrolls or something like that, they're always trying to figure out which... Well, the text that they were using was a text called the Eastern Peshitta. The Peshitta. So they're so far off remote, they are still practicing 2,000 years later many of the same customs, because they hadn't modernized, that were going on in Jesus' day. They are still speaking Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus spoke, a Hebrew dialect. Only about 250,000 people speak that language. And what Lamsa did, he was horrified at the King James Version, and he took 40 years, and he translated from his earliest manuscripts that he had into modern English, the Holy Bible, skipping the translation in the Latin and or first Greek and then in the Latin and, you know, all these other things and Old English, not just straight into modern English. And he explains how we have misunderstanding on so many of the customs and things that were going on. And this particular book, Gospel Light, speaks to some of the customs that were referred to and that were happening in the New Testament. So here's what he has to say about the parable of the seed. I found it really enlightening. He says, according to the Eastern text, it is the parable of the seed and not of the sower. The Aramaic word for seed is zara, and the word for sower is zerua. But the parable, both in the Western version and the Eastern text, deals with seed falling in four kinds of soil and not about the sower, who was instrumental in sowing the seed. This error was in no doubt due to the similarity of the two Aramaic words. He's talking about this confusion, whether it's really the parable of the sower or the parable of the seed. He says, the southern part of Palestine, especially Judea, is hilly and rocky. Small patches of land are like gardens planted on the slopes of mountains. They are terraced one above the other. Each field is sustained by a little retaining wall built of stone. Usually the fields are very rocky, and often soil is brought from elsewhere to cover the rocks. Large stones, which cannot be removed, are allowed to remain. In fact, some stones and rocks are intentionally left in the field to keep the soil from being washed away during the rainy season. Hilly fields are difficult to cultivate, the soil being poor and the rocks plentiful. Some seeds fall on the rocks, which are covered only with a thin layer of soil. The seed sprouts up, but in the heat of the day, the rocks become hot and the plant is scorched. Other seeds fall among the thorns, which grow near the edge of the rocks in the field. The soil is deep, grow faster, the seed is choked and bears no fruit. Some seeds fall on the pathways. These seeds are snatched by the birds. All other seeds fall at the lower end of the field where the soil is fertile. The seeds grow and bring forth an abundant harvest. So picture this now. These seeds that are falling in the hilly places. This is a shallow consciousness. Okay. There's only thin layers of dirt on top of these rocks. The plants sprout up very quickly, but when the heat is on, when the sun is hot, it heats up the rocks underneath, and the roots of the plants scorch. This I often refer to as the metaphysical or the new thought or the new age trap, where we're planting our seeds in just this thin little layer of consciousness, and we get all excited because things are sprouting up. But then when the heat is on, it shrivels up, and we wonder what was going on. That's because we didn't take the time to get some of those rocks out the way. He talks about the thorns and the thistles. This is when you don't pay any attention. You have to weed. And when do you have to weed? You have to weed all the time. It isn't just enough to make the soil nice and fertile for you to plant your seeds in initially. You have to keep coming back. Why? Because the weeds grow faster than your plants. We don't have to have any judgment about the weeds. Weeds are communicable. They're just blowing around there in the wind. We don't have to have a lot of judgment about where did they come from or why. And think about how we do that with ourselves and our thoughts. Ooh, why am I thinking that? Where did that come from? Fighting against this thing or that thing. You know what? The negative thoughts are blowing in the wind like seeds. They're just in the wind. We're not responsible for all the thoughts that come to us. Only the ones we keep. Only the ones we cultivate. And for many of us, we're just going along saying our prayers and doing our affirmations, and the weeds are just growing up all over us. The weed may be negativity. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's addictive behavior. Maybe it's lack of authenticity or out of integrity. It could be almost anything. And eventually, it's going to choke whatever this is that we're trying to grow. What does this have to do with yes? Find is that my job is to make sure that I am fertile soil for whatever this is that God wants to do. To make sure that I am fertile soil. When I am not in yes, it's because something in my consciousness is one of those first three kinds of soil. It's real easy to look around the world and ask, well, why isn't this happening and why isn't that happening and where is God and who's going to support me, who's going to take care of me, blah, 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 blah. But if I stop all that and I think about this little parable, parable becomes a compass for me. It's a guide. It's a litmus test of sorts of my consciousness. And I have to ask myself, where am I? What's going on with me? Not just what's going on in the world. What's going on with me? Have I really been open? Have I really done the work that's necessary in order to create the space for whatever it is that I'm saying I want to manifest, to really be able to manifest? Have I really said yes? Does yes have a resting place in my heart? Is it planted someplace fertile? Or is it just an idea that I'm thinking about? I can't even hold on to because birds are going to come by and take it away. Am I not going deep enough? Am I being shallow? Am I just pouring in some soil on top of my rocks, getting all excited about how much I'm demonstrating and how much is happening so quickly, and then equally frustrated when it shrivels up quickly, when the conditions suddenly change, when I'm up against some kind of adversity, when there are trials and tribulations, what happens then? And I have to ask myself in those moments, am I really fertile soil? Did I take the time to cultivate my consciousness? Did I do the work? Did I do it? Because whatever we don't remove, we will hit up against. Whatever you're running from, you will run into. What is that rock? Is that rock a lack of gratitude, a sense of separation? Is it not enoughness? Is it resentment? Just what is that in me that I haven't cleared out yet to be fertile enough? Oh, and then there's those thorns and those thistles. I probably get this one the most, where as long as my little plant's growing, I'm not even paying attention. I'm just going along. You know, like they say, that old parable that you never notice that you have a leaky roof in the summertime. It isn't until it starts raining. And then when I turn around and my yes is all cloudy and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and I take a look around and it's like, oh, my God, there's all this other stuff. These relationships that aren't cleaned up, these financial matters that weren't really handled, these broken promises, this procrastination, these half-finished projects, you know, just energetic slump, swamplands that are choking out, choking my little yes out. So as you're thinking about cultivating that spirit of yes, remember this little parable. Create the good soil, the fertile soil, or you're going to wind up just like the closed, the hilly places, or the thorns and thistles. And on that note, let's take a break.
Oh, Rev D, you bring out the nerd in me. I love parables. Thank you so much for that. Powerful. You are listening to Living Yes, Cultivating the Spirit of Yes. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. And we got more for you, so stay tuned. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sophira, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
There are people in the world who make you feel that no matter how bad things are, you're going to make it. That though times are tough and the road looks rough, somehow you're going to reach your goal regardless of what you believe. That's what the 1-2 family is striving for. To be the voices that never say never and never tire of saying, you're going to make it. Join us, 1-2 Radio, 1-2 Listen, and 1-2Academy.com. We believe in you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations, it's all about positivity, it's all about self-empowerment, it's all about life conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Living in Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. She is such a phenomenal working energy in the universe, and there are other places where you can find her. You can find her at innerlightministries.com or deborahjohnson.org. In the meantime, we're going to continue the conversation about cultivating the spirit of yes. So we're going to welcome Rev D back. Hope you got your water.
I do.
You know, I think it's interesting that you're talking about seeds, because I've been having the experience of having an old gift reemerge in my life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'm going to recreate is a black angel card called the Gardener.
Mm.
So you really are bringing it home. And this card features this, it's African-American Soul Revival for African-American women. I said that wrong, but yeah, you get it. It's Black Angel Cards by mm-hmm. Earthlyn Marcelin, who I believe is out in your area and a practicing Buddhist priest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she created these archetypes where they have a waking path and a sleeping path. And for the gardener, the waking path, the being awake, what makes you come alive for the gardener is acceptance. And the sleeping path, when you're learning something and you're struggling a little bit, you're a little asleep to how phenomenal you are, it's rejection. So I'm combining that with Matthew 13, and it is December 13th. So I feel like what you're sharing is just so right on time and synchronistic.
Very good. There's only one mind.
Oh, I got the correct name. It's Black Angel Cards, a soul revival guide for black women. Thank you, Life Coach Today, who I hope is going to come. Okay, yeah, sure. All right. You have it. 3474. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to give it out one more time in case people want to join a conversation. 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. Rev D, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. So, do we have any callers coming in now? Want to check in and make sure that you're on it?
Not at the moment, but you know I always have burning questions.
Is my brother there too?
Yes,
I am
right here taking it all in.
Good. Good, good, good. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful. I was on a God mission during the show for minutes.
Okay.
So I came in and just kind of I came in when you were talking about the seeds and, you know, negative thoughts flying around. And I was like, God knows what God is saying, because truth is truth is truth. And it always comes out when we need to hear it. And actually, truth is always out. It just when we fine tune our ears to hearing it. So I came and joined the conversation at the perfect time.
This cultivating the spirit of yes. They're just, I mean, there honestly aren't enough words to say how important it is. We're taught to be doers. You know, we're taught to be, you know, builders and captains of our ship, and to do all this very, you know, left brain, rational thinking kind of stuff. And the mysticism of life is kind of drummed out of us. You know, we're not taught to turn into the inner. We're not taught in the everyday, you know, sort of secular world that there's guidance and that there's a direction and that your life has meaning and purpose, that you're not just some blank slate, and that you're not a wretched creature either, that you're valuable and worth something, and that life, in fact, wants the best for you. I remember when I first heard that, I didn't want to say yes. I'm not going to lie. That whole idea of saying yes had no appeal to me. Primarily because from what I was being told, yes meant I wasn't going to be me anymore. Yes meant that God was going to change me. You know, yes meant that changing specifically, the guy was going to make me a heterosexual. And I was fine with me. I liked me. I liked the way that I saw the world. And I couldn't imagine living an unauthentic life. Because that's what it meant for me. Either I was going to be able to choose a partner that I could resonate with, or I was going to be condemned to a life of solitude. There was just no way that I could get into a traditional marriage or something like that where I felt fraudulent. You know, it was just like no way. I couldn't trust it. And I tell you what happens for most of us. Whatever our issues have been with our parents or whoever played the authority figures in our role, we project those onto God. I want you to think about that for a moment. So if you have abandonment issues with your parents, you project that onto God. Control issues, you project that. Whatever those issues are, you know, we project that. Then that part of us that doesn't want to say yes is young. Energetically, it's not the mature, grown us. The part of us that's hanging out and that doesn't want to say yes is the little kid that's still rebelling against whatever it is that they consider to be, you know, unfair, whatever, growing up. And part of this cultivating the spirit of yes is stopping that projection. That's all that it is. Just stop slanderizing God's character. Open. Be open. Be willing. Be yielded. Listen. Listen. Be around nature. Be around children. Play music, dance, art, you know, things that really reach and touch the soul. Garden. Get in the water. Go to the beach. Just whatever that you can do to really grandeur of the Almighty will help you in cultivating your yes. So I know neither of you have ever had a struggle with yes.
What? Never. I mean, I'm listening to you. I'm thinking, I don't know what she's talking about. Me, I always show up for when I'm called.
Well, my little girl out, is obedient.
I came out the womb saying, yes, I'm here.
Did you?
Yeah. Right.
And I'm saying that my inner child is obedient. She does exactly what she's told. She does not stomp her feet and call you out your name to your face. She doesn't do that. She doesn't project. Not only does she project on God, she will project on who she loves. If you even glimpse like the bully who messed with her in school, oh, don't mess with that little girl. You better hug her. Amen. Thank you, Rev D. Call me out. I said it, and I'm proud to be naked.
You know, this yes factor thing, it's a friend of mine said, you know, they tell you about this yes, that you say yes to what you want, say yes to life, but they don't tell you about the things that come after it. And so for me, it's kind of like, yeah, well, it's part of the growth. And sometimes I think from my experience, my personal experience, and there's some things I went through recently, I'm thinking, I said yes. I actually remember saying, okay, God, I'm willing, I'm ready. And I heard myself think, wait, please let it be easy and gentle. So there, I still have a part of me, something sometimes when I feel like if I say yes, that I'm going to have to go through experiences is going to be super challenging. And I'm going to wish I said no. I don't know why, but one thing I know I do that I'm clear about is the yes is so much more important for my soul salvation than staying where I'm at. But it's an everyday thing. I had a request yesterday, well, actually 2 days ago. And when I first looked at the text, my first response was like, oh no. And the oh no was because I, in that moment, felt like that means more work, more time. And then I heard the voice. The voice said, isn't this what the vision is about? Isn't this what you envision for your work? And I was like, yeah, that's true. So I reached back to the person and said, okay, let's talk. So yeah, somehow maybe you can speak. I don't know if I missed it, but the idea of the yes often being scary. And of course it's scary. That's why we're even having the conversation.
Well, is the other any less scary?
Say that again.
Is the other any less scary?
That's just, actually, it's not. It's just delaying it, like hoping
is,
that.
Is the alternative less
so
scary?
Mm-mm. No.
Is no actually easier? Is it actually easier to live in no than to live in yes?
No, it's not. Not for me anyway.
No.
I don't know about anybody else out there.
No, it's not. And it's an illusion, I guess is what I'm saying. It's an illusion. I remember in one of my spirit letters, it explaining how there really were no other alternatives to yes. It said in order for something to really be an alternative, it has to be substitutable. You know, for it to be a real alternative, it has to be able to take the place of something else. And you know, and it just asked the questions very simply. It just said, if you're not saying yes to me, then what are you saying yes to? If you're not saying yes to me, then who or what are you saying yes to? That if you're not trusting me to make things all right, who or what are you trusting? What is this out there that you're convinced can do a better job? You? Do you think you can do a better job of managing your life? You know, do you think? And it says, you know, and how dare you try to disprove my goodness? Like, how dare you? Especially when you're using the stuff I've given you, like your eyes. You're going to use something as miraculous of a creation of mine as your eyes to disprove me. It's like, no. No. If we're scared of yes, what is there out there that we think is going to be better? I mean, really?
It's crazy, isn't it? I'm talking for myself. I'm talking for everybody.
Like,
it's like
what
really
else?
Crazy. Yes.
What are your alternatives?
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying you're not going to say yes to God. What do you want to do? it's about that everything. It says, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think telling the truth is scary? Okay. So if you're not planning to tell you the truth, what are you planning to tell? And if you don't think the truth is going to help the situation, then what's going to help? What else can you tell other than the truth that's going to hurt, that's going to help? And I know I'm coming across hard, but it's we don't think about that. If I'm not saying yes, then what am I saying? If I'm not forgiving, then what am I doing? If I'm not willing to be loving and compassionate here, then what am I being? There's a concept. It's a business concept. And it's called the opportunity cost. What the opportunity cost basically is whatever else you could have been doing. That if you have a resource, there's only so many ways you can invest that resource. If I have one egg and I decide to put it in some pancakes, then I can't also have a scrambled egg. My opportunity cost at that moment was a scrambled egg. Anybody listening to this show now or participating in this show, your opportunity cost is whatever else you could have been doing other than listening to this. But at some point, you made a decision that out of all the things you could be doing in the world at this particular moment in time, that listening to this and being here was where you most needed to be. We don't get different sets of energy. You don't get energy to move forward and energy to stay stuck. You don't get energy to forgive and energy to hold on. What are we doing with our energy? To a certain point, we're not saying yes, just costs too much. It's what we're sacrificing, what we're losing, what we're exchanging for yes, substituting for yes, it just costs too much. And that's when we make the pivot choices in our life. You finally stop drinking when it costs you too much. You finally move to forgiveness when holding the grudge just cost you too much. You know? And not saying yes is costly.
Yes, it is.
Yes. It costs you your purpose, fulfillment, joy, focus, sustainability, grace, ease, empowerment, trust. I mean, that's a lot to pay.
That's kind of like saying someone's basically bankrupt. Yes.
Yes is wonderful. On the other side of yes is possibility, freedom, trust, opportunities, support. support, inspiration, empowerment, encouragement. You know, yes, we'll walk you straight into provision, prosperity, grace. It's wonderful.
In my world, yes is the only way. Yes is the only way. Unless I'm invested in suffering and I'm willing to experience all that I'm experiencing that's not even serving me, that's just painful. But I know for me, yes is the only way, even though if I might say, yes, yes is the only way.
You know, I have a question for the both of you on the other side of the break.
Okay.
I really do about this yes conversation and its fertile ground in a world full of no's. Okay. I'm going to go there. Right. Debbie Downer, I am with your yes. So stay tuned. Call in 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press one on your keypad. We'll be right back with more right after these messages.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com. The world of business continues to evolve, and at this time, companies need an internet presence. For this purpose, meet Electra Ford, owner of the Virtual Office Center. Electra implements internet marketing plans connecting you to your audience online. What is business if it is not seen? For product launching, raising websites' position in the search engines, and expanding your reach online, contact Electra Ford at 501-993-6734. That's 501-993-6734, or visit virtualofficecenter.net.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations, it's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We're talking about cultivating the spirit of yes.
And right on the other side of the break, I said I had a question for both Life Coach A and O Wise One, Reverend D. I'm really looking forward to asking this question. But if you have a question before me, the call-in number is 347-426-3346. I don't want you to lose your seed, but I'm going to jump in. So don't forget to press one on your keypad. We'll come right to you. All right, you two, because both of you are really important to me, okay? So, Rev D, I know that you were instrumental in midwifing Ade's vision and dream for what he's doing right now. And Ade, you have been midwife for me, birthing so much, including where I am right now. And even as I take in your tools, and I'm pretty good at working with fertile ground, I'm listening to this conversation with the ear of, what if I didn't have Rev D's sacred yes? And what if I didn't have life conversations? What would you say to somebody who has no clue about this new thought stuff and actually think you guys are crazy? What would you say to them when they say to you, look, this is my situation. I'm a 30-year-old woman. I got four kids, two twins. I got a car that I'm renting every week, and I can't make ends meet, and I can't be sitting down listening to some spiritual show like this happening. What do we say to somebody like that? Help me.
Rev D, can I jump in? Because right after you're done, there's no way I'll be able to say anything to that. I ain't even trying to come behind you. I'm going to just say my yes now. Let me get mine out so I can yield.
I know, well, I'm going to get it.
Real briefly, really, for me, Celeste, is if I was talking to somebody, well, first of all, I'm not going to say, go listen to this Celestial show or go listen to Living in the Yes, or I'm sure Rev D can attest to this. There's something about when you're hosting a show, when you're doing a lesson sermon, a speaking engagement, the conversation is kind of general, but it hits people where they're open. However, when I'm meeting with somebody one-on-one, the moment inspires for me what I need to say to them. And the truth is, if I am in connection with that person, clearly they're ready for what I have to say. Now, intellectually, I'm saying, yeah, I believe in that. But I know that every connection, every interaction is a divine interaction. So if they come to me, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to what the pain is. You know, it may be helping to alleviate the financial problem, whichever way maybe I can connect them. But it's really meeting people where they are at, rather than, I mean, I might talk about saying yes, I might not. It depends on where the person is. But the fact that I'm interacting with them, oh, yes, that I have words for them. And God has words for them that will be spoken through me. So I don't have to doubt that. When I'm there, I'm there. And I joyfully and lovingly yield to Rev D.
I think that's good. I think that's a good response. What I'd probably do if I knew her closely enough or felt like it was okay to touch her is I hold her hand or I'd put my hand on her shoulder or something and I'd look in her eye and I'd say, you are not forgotten, knows who you are. Sometimes the world is so much with us, it feels like we're drowning. But your life, filled with meaning and purpose, and you have a reason be here. Now is the time to call upon the spirit of the ancestors. People who have borne much grief, hardships like nothing that we'll ever know. And yet they knew something. They knew something. They knew something about a joy that passes all human understanding. A joy that can't come from the stuff of this world. And I just tell her, listen to your soul. I heard someone define our soul as that part of us that refuses to give up hope. And you don't have to read books, any shows. But there's a soul yearning within you that tells you there's more than this. That you're more than this, and that there's more for you than this. Listen to it. Listen to it. Drown it out. Don't ignore it because of all the so-called facts. That little whisper in the night that says, I got you. Be with that. Because there's good things in store for you, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in you.
I can be with that.
Like you believe in your children.
Mm.
Ouch.
Believe in you like you believe in your children. Like you know that in spite of everything that's going on, that your children have a chance. Demonstrate it for them.
That was more than helpful. Thank you. More than. I appreciate the both of you very much. Mm-hmm. Particularly that spirit of ancestors, because they've really been around this week. Amen, Life Coach Ade?
Yes. That is so true.
We get an amen about the ancestors at Life Conversations. They come on more than ancestral blueprints. And thank you.
Yes.
I think you have a question next, Life Coach Ade. Did I read that right?
Yes, I do. Actually, Rev. Well, yeah, I just want Rev D to actually speak on this. I, as always, you know, this is not a shameless plug. This is a sacred plug. If you don't have listeners, if you don't have the sacred yes or your deepest intent, go get it. Letters from the Infinite, as revealed to Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. And we lovingly call her Rev D. This, you know, Celeste talked about the birthing, the midwifing, this book. I actually had Sacred Yes first for a long time before I eventually got the Your Deepest Intent. And this book, they just speak to my soul. It's just what I need. And you just open up to a page. I dare you to, just, if you have it, just open up to a page and tell me it didn't speak to you. Because just now what I did, I picked up on Your Deepest Intent and I opened up to a page and I caught something that I hadn't really made that connection. I want you to speak on it. I'm on the chapter of, what's the chapter? Transcending Duality. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at a section on love. Love is a unifying power. Choose it as
the
end. Page 258 on Your Deepest Intent.
Okay.
And as the section, love is the unifying power. Choose it as the answer to everything.
Yes.
And as I, you know, this is a particular part that I underline and I read some more, but it's love that brings everything back to a state of unified wholeness. Now, there's a lot more to this. When you are in a state of love, you are no longer experiencing separation, the evidence of dualistic consciousness. You feel at one with what you love. And it just occurred to me, the yes is love. Love is yes. Is that how you see it, or do you see it differently?
I would agree.
It just hit me. I was like, oh my God, I never thought of love as yes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, feel free to go where you want to go, where you're led.
As it says in Begin With Yes,
mm-hmm.
the second letter in the Sacred Yes, Volume 1, He says, what are you saying yes to? And he says, the yes is about our oneness. When you started off earlier, scribing, saying yes, I didn't say anything about it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, you know, do I say yes to what I want? And this yes isn't about yes to what you want. It's yes to what God wants. That's a different yes. It's not just the yes to what you want. It's in the spirit letters where I'm working on this definition, on these definitions. And whenever there's two definitions, that means that I got the first one, and somehow or another I like argued or got stuck or didn't really get it or something like that. But it was so beautiful. It said that the first definition said yes. It says yes is where your will merges with my will. It said yes is where your will merges with my will. And then I got the second definition, which means I went, okay, what am I supposed to do with that? And it said, yes is where your volition isn't just your will, your volition is your power to use your will. It says, yes is where your power to use your will, your volition, trusts my divine order. Trust my divine order. Remember, and I look and I said, okay, so what is divine order? Divine order is where your sense of what's right merges with my infinite wisdom. Divine order, where your sense of what's right merges with my divine wisdom. What it boils down to is it all comes back to this oneness. That love is not just an emotion. Love is an inner. Love is the energy in the universe that pulls it all together. Martin Luther King used to quote Paul Tillich a lot, one of the great theologians of our time. And he says that whenever you speak of God, at some point in time, you have to come to this idea of a unitary wholeness. Okay? That's what love does. It heals the sense of separation, which is the only thing that ever needs to be healed. Whenever we're feeling separate from something, it's because we don't remember that we are, in fact, one with it. And the only thing that heals the sense of separation is love. That's what heals it.
Hmm.
Is love. Yes, is love in action. It's love in action. George Washington Carver said it beautifully, whatever you love enough reveals its secrets to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you love enough reveals its secrets to you. To tell you the truth, most people really don't love God. Most people fear God. Most people really don't love life. They fear life. They're trying to hedge against life, trying to protect themselves against life. But they don't really love life. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
most
indeed.
People don't really love love. Most people really don't love love.
Mm.
They don't. There's a beautiful letter in the book that you mentioned, Your Deepest Intent. Called My Name is Safe in Your Mouth. And it's a spinoff from this email thing that I was reading years ago when it was quoting what four-year-olds had to say love is. And little Billy said, when someone loves you, they say your name different. You know your name is safe in their mouth. And this letter goes on and questions, and it's the spirit, it's like God questioning us, is God's name safe in our mouths? Beautiful letter. Oh God, I'm just trying to jump into this because I know we only have a little bit of time here. This is just one aspect of it. It says, I'm in a divine partnership, every one of you. I have my job to do, but you also have your job to do in partnership with me. Your job is to understand the creative power you have been given and use this power wisely and in alignment with me. When you put me up on a pedestal, so you tend not to understand your own power in me. You're constantly waiting for me to show up, constantly waiting in dire circumstances for me to suddenly jump in and intervene on your behalf. You tend to believe that from my distant place, I'm simply manipulating all of you, usually against your will, on some kind of chessboard of life. No, you're not a pawn. And your life is not some kind of game. For my name to be safe in your mouth, you must love me. You must watch what you say about me. You must not scorn me, even if you're angry or disappointed with me. When my name is safe in your mouth, there's a tenderness in your voice that lets everybody know how fond you are of me. There's a tangible sense of the intent to forgive. This intent both precedes and supersedes any actions, debts, violations, offenses, or trespasses. One doesn't wait to see how bad it seemingly is before one decides that forgiveness is in order. No, when my name is safe in your mouth, there's a deep intent to reconcile any and all differences quickly and to the mutual benefit of all. And it goes on. And then I just want to read the end part here. Oh, what a wonderful relationship we'll have when my name is safe in your mouth. Know that your name is always safe in my mouth. Everyone's name is always safe in my mouth. This causes you great concern at times. Sometimes you mistake the safety that everyone has in my mouth as betrayal. Sometimes you think I'm supporting other people, places, and things to your detriment. You live in a place of sibling rivalry with regard to me way too often. When you're seeking clarity about your circumstances and conditions, especially those involving human relationships, you must listen to how I speak of the other persons as well as of the circumstances. Otherwise, you want to invite me in to clean up the circumstances, but you have no intent of changing your heart space regarding the human interactions involved. Oh, no. There must be a shift on all levels if things are indeed to be healed. Do you have the intent for everyone's name to be safe in your mouth? Do you have the intent for your name to be safe in your own mouth? Think on these things. There's so much loving to do. And it ends with that.
God is the ultimate lover. Wow. I mean, I love the part, I mean, this books, but where you said, oftentimes you want to invite me to clean up the circumstances, but you have intent of changing your heart space regarding the human interactions involved. Yeah, I can relate.
Well, see, that's why people be getting mad at God, because that's such a stretch. You know, you my man, and I love you. And sometimes, oh, thank God we've got Rev D, Life Coach today, and fools and people like me to walk the journey to be I said yes. I think I love you. Oh, I'm done.
He said, I'm done.
I'm so done now, but thank you. It was so beautiful, Rev D. I love God out of your mouth and how you channel and express that energy, because I would have been in church a lot more if the sermons were like that.
I'm trying to hope, I'm waiting for Skype to get itself together so we can, I mean, we can hear it, but the Skype is acting up.
Distortion.
Yeah, this is distortion. I was kind of waiting. But it sounds like you might want to switch, because I love what you said. You said something, I don't know, I think you said you love how God sounds in Rev D's mouth. That's a good quote. What do you love about Rev D? I love how God sounds in her mouth. What? She Rev D can start a dating agent for God. God is a universal lover. Everybody, bring it on. Oh, wow. Celeste, are you back with us? I don't see you, but
not quite. I need to love myself more. I need to love myself more and update my technology. That's a long story. But with time, though, we are preparing to release you for another phenomenal show next week. Anything you want to share before we say goodnight? And thank you again, and everybody who was listening on this journey tonight.
You know, what I would say really at this point in time is, just say yes. Stop thinking about it, analyzing it, trying to figure it out, all the gyrations and stuff we go through. Just take a deep breath and jump in the water. Can't learn to swim on the shore. Jump in the water. And I promise you, the water's fine. And I'm just finalizing some plans for some virtual groups that people can study with me. And by Tuesday, it should all be ironed out. So
yeah, we're ready.
By then.
We are ready and waiting. You have a way of presenting God in a way that literally is digestible. You know, you could take it in. You read from Sacred Yes last week, and now reading from your deepest intent, and something about when you read it, because you know, it's like I'm hearing God. I'm just thinking, really, we say God is a divine lover, but there's something about when you read it, it really just speaks to my heart.
Good.
And so yeah, and we are ready for your virtual presentation.
Good. We want to hang with you. I encourage everybody, if you're reading the Sacred Yes to Your Deepest Intent, read it out loud. It's first a conversation. There's a cadence, there's a rhythm. read it out loud, and it'll be a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I challenge people.
Take care.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, Rev D. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Peace and blessings. Okay, and I was going to challenge listeners that if you buy Sacred Yes in your deepest intent and your life doesn't change, first of all, I will tell you that you ain't willing to change, but I will give you your money back. I mean that. Well, that's it. Because this book will change your life. And I'm not just saying it because of Rev D. I mean, I tell you, this book, I remember one time, I got to share this before we go. I was thinking about doing a workshop. And I started to like go through how much would I charge. And then I came up with an amount that I was going to charge. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning or something. And then I started to panic, who's going to pay that amount? And I went to Sacred Yes. And I think the chapter I opened up to Daring to Be Authentic. I don't know. I think Rev D's still here. Ooh, I'm getting goosebumps as I say. 144, I think it is, because I love that topic. I love this. I think it's 144. And Rev D, I'm going to be bad, and I think you're still there.
I'm here.
Listen. Okay. And because you heard my story, right? I was struggling with how much you charge for my workshop, if it was too much and everything. And I'm trying to see if it's Daring to Be Authentic, but it was like, how much is the something? Oh, here it is. Oh, Lord, I'm getting goosebumps. Authenticity. Where is it? I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to surrender and read it. I hope this is it. Let me see. Oh, yes, it is. Sorry, I'm getting all excited here. Bear with me, people. Okay, here we go. So on authenticity, you always fear that your authenticity will not be appreciated by those whom you love. And you're probably right. Authenticity is rarely appreciated by anyone other than the author. So what will be your measuring stick? Your own internal valuation of yourself, or the price tag that others place on you? That's the page I opened to when I was trying to figure out how much you charge for a workshop. Why do you chop yourself up? Why do you place every creative thing that is given to you on an auction block for bidding? Are you so consumed with your materialistic point of view that nothing is of worth? Nothing's of worth unless it has an exchange value placed on it by someone else. I was like, oh God, in the midnight hour, must the price of everything be determined by how much someone else is willing to give for it? What about you? What are you willing to give for what you have? How much are you willing to invest in yourself and in your own ideas and creative expressions? Just how much? I said, damn. He smacked me in the face. He spoke to me where I was. And I just found that peace to just relax. And so that's my testimony.
Good. Love it.
Thank you. Thank you, Rev D.
All right.
Peace
thank
and blessings.
Thank you.
Ooh. Yeah, yes, wow. And if anybody buys this book and it doesn't change your life, I'm saying this is recorded. I'll give you money back, but you'll get some tests first. You can put
in the
work.
You were the one who introduced me to the work of Rev D and all the listeners back in the early days. So I think right now what people are witnessing is the manifestation of listening and working the tools. And if people are following you and reading the book, then you can say that you've been midwife too, right?
Yes, so, indeed. Yep.
There you go.
It's time to shine.
It is time to shine. Sherry Marie, the love goddess, is going to be releasing the show tonight. You can find her work on sherrymarie.com, CHERIMARIE.com. She's also going to be a special guest on the Play Experience with Mbasa Safera on Thursday night. Check out the Love Goddess and the mystical Mbasa Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And check me out on Celestial Show. I'm making spider webs.
I am.
Bye, Celeste. Thank you, listeners. We appreciate you. Peace and blessing. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And now is your opportunity to apply what you heard. Don't just intellectualize it. Put it into action, and you will never be the same. That's a declaration. It's time to shine. Sherry Marie.
Somebody told you not to be fabulous. They tried to take your soul. Guess what? They lied. You're in control. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Somebody said you never be anything. They tried to change your fate. Guess what?
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.